When he died, that's what he brought into our lives, is our true identity, our reality when it comes to life. Like I said, the enemy's greatest trick is to deceive you into thinking that you by yourself. And when he can isolate you in that place, that's when he has a field day with your mind throwing rocks at you all day. But we got them Bruce Lee Kung Fu moves, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to do that in a suit, but you know what I'm saying? Kick the rocks, you know what I'm saying? New meaning to kick rocks.
Oh my God. I need to see that kick one more time. Boom.
There you go. For your viewing pleasure. It's true. Man, God is fun, man. Okay, so what tends to happen is we still, even though we've been made new in Christ, even though we have the Holy Spirit resident in us, we sometimes veer into this really, it's like a, you know, you ever be driving somebody's house and you know for a fact where they live, but for some reason you're like, man, this is odd. I don't know where I'm going. So then you turn and you like end up going to like one of those streets that it says like no outlet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You like, dang. So then you had to turn around. That's just me. I did that like 2 weeks ago. So kind of sucked. But we sometimes veer off into that dead end road and then stay there. For some reason, instead of refocusing our thoughts and turning back around and going back the way that we know that we're supposed to go. There's a verse, it says in James 1:14, I don't have it up there, but this is the Amplified version. It says, every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed and baited by his own evil desire, lust, passions, etc., etc. First thing, God isn't the one tempting anybody. Thank you, brother. God isn't the one tempting anybody. A lot of times is us. We still have to deal with this flesh body. And a lot of times we get confused. Oh. And sometimes it ain't even confusing. It's just us being stupid. I'm just keeping it 100. I've been stupid a few times in my life where it's like, why did I? Really? And then when God brings you back to the realization of it, you're like, oh my God. And then when we come back, we're like, oh God. Oh. And it's like, you can avoid that whole process by simply doing what this scripture here says. And once again, this is not you on your own doing this. It says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart, this is the King James Version, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This other one is the Young's Literal Translation. Above every charge, keep thy heart, for out of it are the outgoings of life. Here's the Darby Translation of the same verse. Keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. So these issues of life, I like looking at different translations because it gives you a broad spectrum of it. Out of these issues of life, the issue, it's not talking about like your issues, like your problems. It's simply talking about the goings and comings of life. Those roads that we're on. We can avoid a lot of things by simply starting at step one. And guess who's keeping that heart? It's not us by ourselves. It's God. It's His Spirit in us. Keep thy heart with all. But we have to be willing. God ain't going to just take this. No, that ain't how he works. He likes giving you a choice. And he likes wooing you so to the point that you get drawn to make that choice. That's what his love is all about, y'all. Get me on the next one, bro. Okay, so the ultimate tool that we have, I just said it. It's been the theme of this morning, matter of fact. His love, man. It's his love, man. It's his love that overwhelms our hearts. It's his love that, man.
Come on, man. Come on, bro.
My auntie just sang that song, man. And I just felt this overwhelming peace and love when she just gave me that hug, too. That's how God wants to embrace you every second of every day.
Yeah.
He wants to drown you so to the point where you can't even get your head out of the water.
Yeah.
And it's available.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta do. Drink it. Drink it. It's true, man. It's easy. You can tell I've been hanging around Anthony. It's easy! John 14, 16 through 20. In the Common English Bible version, it says, I will ask the Father, this is Jesus talking, I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. Everybody say that with me.
I won't leave you as orphans.
Say, I got a dad.
I got a dad.
And he loved me.
He loved me.
Love.
And he says, I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. There's a few things in that verse that I want to point out. For one, there's an immutable fact that he puts in there. This companion is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. The immutable fact is, you know him because he lives with you and will be with you. Immutable fact is, whenever you be like, anybody ever been like doing something and it's like something's about to happen, some crazy chaos is about to happen, and you get the unction to leave.
Time ago.
Has anybody done that before they were saved?
Yeah.
That means when Jesus left this earth, there's always a representation of God here. Mm-hmm. When Jesus left this earth,
okay,
he sent a companion, the Spirit of Truth, that will lead you and guide you in all perfect truth, that will keep you safe, that will help you. Say, help me.
Help me.
He is the Holy Ghost. And he's not a myth. He's not done away with. You're not an orphan because he's here with you. You're not an orphan because he sees you. He knows you. He fashioned you in the womb. You are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God's word above all is our tool for guarding our hearts. Say it with me. God's word,
God's word
above all,
above all
is our tool,
is our tool
for guarding our hearts. The Holy Spirit is also set in place as a watchman, keeping us in tune with who we are in Christ. He's empowering us by his grace as an overcomer. So, say this with me. I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
Guys, circumstances don't matter. I say that with ill repute. Circumstances don't matter. Because even in bad circumstances, he turns that around so it favors you.
Ooh, come on.
Paul was in prison. Praising God in prison. And he wasn't asking God to get me out of here, Lord. He was just praising God because he's full of his love. And guess what happened? All of the doors in the prison opened up. And even the guard had to bow down to God. That's the type of power that God has when we allow him to flow through us. But once again, it's not just out of circumstance, I'm going to let God do his thing. It's, it's love. Oh my gosh. It's just overwhelming me, encapsulating me. And when my eyes are open to that revelation, that's when that flow can freely come. And lives are changed when that flow comes. And that flow is constantly here, flowing. You're the conduit. You get to aim that flow. You know, when firefighters open those fire hydrants up, it just be gushing out, man. Think of God's love like that. You the hose. You put fires out, man. You can't fight fires with flames. I remember Wendell told us that he was teaching at a kid's school, and he was like, he was getting the kids all amped up. He was like, what do you fight fire with? And all the kids said, fire! He's like, think about what y'all just said. This is something else, boy. No, you don't fight fire with fire. You're going to burn that thing up even worse. You fight fire with water. That's hilarious. Hit my next slide, bro. So you have this companion. You have the reality of what Christ has done, your identity. And out of that place is where the issues of life flows. That's where peace flows. That's where joy flows. That's where loving kindness flows. That's where tender mercy flows. That's where goodness flows. That's where self-control flows. A lot of people don't think about that. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control isn't just this thing that I gotta put on my back. I gotta, no. Self-control is a fruit of something. A fruit of love. I'm going to go to the story of Nehemiah. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire book of Nehemiah, because that's how you get that's how you get the full spectrum. But I would encourage everybody to take a look at that, because it's a really good, encouraging story. I'm still going to get into some of that. Still get into a little bit. But basically, Nehemiah, I'm going to paraphrase it, I guess. Basically, Nehemiah, so this is like around 5 BC. Children of Israel kept disobeying God. Everybody knows the story of children of Israel. They couldn't get right. I don't know what they was on, man. They didn't see God do all these magnificent miracles and part a sea in half so you can walk across and try it. Like, and then vanquish your enemies, like, promise y'all, and then this promise has been carried throughout your entire lineage from Abraham. And it's just like, they had hardened hearts.
Molly Percocet.
They were asleep. You're right, they were asleep. So, it got all the way to the point where they kept rebelling to God so much, and God was warning them, like, man, you're putting yourself in danger to be dispersed. And they didn't care. It seemed they didn't care because they kept doing what the heck they wanted to do. So, it got to the point where they got conquered. They got dispersed, like literally dispersed, where basically all of the tribes and children of Israel were sent in all different areas. And they were taken over by the Persian Empire. Now, the Persian Empire was like the biggest, baddest people at the time. So it starts off where Nehemiah, he grew up, you know, as a Jew. He studied the law of God. He studied the law of Moses. And he was able to basically live and be righteous before God. And in the process of him doing that, and he loved his people. He knew that he wasn't supposed to be conquered by somebody else. He knew the promise that God had for him on the other side of things that they missed out on because they wanted to do their own thing. So he knew who he was identity-wise. Also, this is a two-way thing. This story gives us a kind of like a typology of who Christ was. When Christ came to this earth, Christ ain't playing no games. Jesus knew that he was here for his Father's business. He knew that God had a plan for his life. He knew that God had a purpose for his life, and he knew that he was the only one that could get the job done for that particular purpose. Okay, so Nehemiah. Okay, so it says, now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year of the Persian king, as I was in the capital of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers and some men from Judah came. And I asked them about the surviving Jews who had escaped and survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there is in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its fortified gates have been burned, destroyed by fire. So when I was reading that, it gave me like a little narrative of how our hearts can be. We can be in a distress, in a reproach, where we're feeling like just locked down, like enemies surrounding us on all sides, and we like, I don't know what to do, just scared. Our guard is just totally broken down, where we're not aware of how strong we are. We got the keys, we got the weapons.
Come on.
We got the powers. Like, I can't imagine Superman walking around and being scared of humans other than somebody got some kryptonite. I can't imagine the Hulk being afraid to walk in a China shop. Like, the Hulk would tear a China shop up. And all he gotta do is just breathe on it and it'll fall over. But I'm just saying, like, this is the position that the children of Israel placed themselves in. because they got so far away from who they were, who they were supposed to be. Like I said, God had already made a promise to the children of Israel. Land flowing with milk and honey. All of the houses going to be built already. All of the food you can eat. The best of the best. God has set aside. And they wanted to go back to Egypt and be slaves.
Oh, that's cold.
Really? Hit me, bro. Like I said, I ain't gonna read this whole thing. I'm just giving y'all a snapshot of it. Now, it came about when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I was fasting and praying constantly before God of heaven. And I said, please, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you day and night on behalf of your servants, the sons, descendants of Israel, Jacob, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have committed against you. I and my father's house have sinned. So check this out. This is the cool thing that God, the Holy Spirit showed me. In his lamenting, in his sorrow, he made his request known unto God. And really what I saw most in all of this was the humbling of his own self-righteousness. Because it's self-righteous to say that, oh, I sinned, but I'm good. When you know you didn't mess up, you gotta be willing to be real with God, because he already knows. He knows. He knows the reality of the situation. He knows you were tripping. But the beauty of it is that Christ did this for us. He's doing this for us right now. Jesus is our intercessor. He's our high priest. He's constantly before the throne of God, praying on your behalf. We no longer have to come to God like, oh my God, heavy, beat up, like God's not going to hear us. We have freedom and liberty through what Christ has done and what Christ is currently doing right now. Christ is serving for us in heaven, directly in front of God. A representation, a physical being, human being with a new body. Human being in heaven on your behalf. God is no longer looking at you as a sinner. Yes, you can sin. You can make bad decisions. And yes, I'd encourage you to bring it to God. Because really, you're not hurting God, you're hurting yourself. A lot of times when we make bad decisions, it's not you putting a rift between God, but what you do is you put that thought in your mind and you put a rift between you and God. And you get caught in this place of like, man, God don't love me no more, man. I got to do some good stuff so the God will be good with me again. And then you back in the worst. Then you trying to appease a God that's angry at you. He's not really angry at you. True. But like I said, the avoidance of that road from the jump is what keeps you from having to go through that whole process anyway. That hamster wheel.
Come on.
And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. To woo us each and every day. To have fellowship and communion with us so deep that we are immersed in him and we can make sound decisions. To guard our hearts. So, because the issues of life flow through it. Hit me again, bro. Two times. Free time. Well, no, I keep it right there. I'm gonna just skip that other part. It's just more of him talking about how bad they were. But I would encourage you to read Nehemiah. Now they are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Please, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to reverently fear your name. Your essence, your nature, your attributes with all. Oh. And make your servant successful this day and grant his compassion in the sight of this man, the king. So he was, like I said, he was praying to God, Lord, let me get some favor with this dude because he's the king over us. We his peasants. Basically, they were slaves now. So, and it said, this is the key part that I want everybody to see. For I was cupbearer to the king of Persia. That's significant. Not just because cupbearer, they supposed to drink the wine in case it's poisoning, and if they drink it, they're gonna die. Not just that, it's significant to the king, because if he hadn't drank that poison, he probably would have been dead. But it's significant because Jesus was our cupbearer. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was like, take this cup away from me. It was a cup of wrath.
Yeah.
That he took. That he bore. And I love his language right here. Because he's calling them what they are, even though they weren't being that. Even though they were still in opposition of God. Their mindsets. He said, your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by great power and your strong hand. Here's another little nugget for you guys that I've learned over studying. Jesus is like referred to God's right hand, his strong right hand. So that's just a little nugget. Jesus is that strong hand that God used to redeem us. And the importance of that is it's important to see Christ throughout all scripture because Jesus was being referenced the entire time the Bible was being brought. It's the Bible is to point us in his direction. Okay. Let me begin. All right, so rebuilding with rest. Now that I've laid that groundwork, I don't know where this pen came from. Now that I've laid that groundwork, it starts in a place of recognizing the need to do so and allowing that to be the first step to fortifying our hearts. So, like I said, there'll be times where you're going through life where you're not even aware. You're just so asleep. And here's a firm refute. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. To his love, wake up. God's love and his promising word is the brick and mortar to a fortified heart. So those, like those walls that they had to rebuild, oh, moral of that story is they rebuilt the walls. He came and changed everything, brought the kingdom of Israel back to speed. And then he left. But he had to come back again because they started tripping again. But when he came back, he still brought that aspect. And Jesus, once again, you can look at this verse and literally see what Jesus is going to do prophetically. What he's done prophetically. Because, once again, he's rebuilt each and every one of us by his grace. We have to see that. And allow that to fortify our belief system. Your belief isn't in your ability to do and be good. Your belief is in his ability to finish what he already completed. what he said was complete at the cross. He said, it is finished, right?
Yeah.
He was talking about you. Amen?
Amen.
Peace I leave with you. This is John 14, 27 in the Amplified Version. Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let's distinguish one firm thing. Jesus' love is not the same as this earth's.
Wow.
Amen.
It's good. Love can be good. All I need is love. Da, 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 da. But it ain't Jesus' love. Do not let your heart be troubled. Say that with me. Do not.
Do not.
Let your heart.
Let your heart.
Be troubled.
Be troubled.
Why are we tripping?
Yeah.
Stop tripping. I just want to do something. Huh? Nor let it be afraid. Two things that God don't want us to be a part of that we always constantly find ourselves wandering down that road. But a fortified heart, an identity heart, is steeped in something way greater. So let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance, give you courage and strength in every challenge. It comes from something else. Like I said, cause and effect. This thing is all about checks and balances. Mm. And he's already checked your balance. And it's, you a millionaire. You a billionaire. You a gajillionaire. It's infinite love in your account. Go in there, get your card. ATM, get your handy-dandy ATM card. Swipe it at the thing. Withdraw. Withdraw. It's there. You ain't even got to worry about one. I remember there was times you'd be worried like, dang, it's like 4 cents up in my account, but dang. My mom said, hey. And that ain't the case right now, I'm just saying.
The squint.
Stroke. No. But right now, I just got paid on Friday. So I ain't worried about it. I pay attention, but I ain't worried about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm intentional about it, but I ain't worried about it. I'm going to leave y'all with one last scripture, and then we're going to close out. Hebrews. Don't go to the next. Hebrews 9, 4, 16, 4 through 16. I mean, no, no. Hebrews 4, 9 through 16. I just want you to close your eyes and listen to this. There remaineth, and it's the King James Version, so bear with me if you don't like Old English.
I love it.
There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. That's your position. For he that is entered into this rest, he also had ceased from his own works, as God did from his. When God finished creating this earth, mind you, he did that with you in mind. When God created this earth, he did it in 7 days and chilled on the seventh. That rest, that same rest is what it's talking about, that you should be having. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You're not laboring to get God to see you.
Yes.
You're not laboring to get God to be pleased with you. You're laboring to maintain the position that you already had from the beginning of the earth's existence. You're laboring to rest in the fact of that he's done it. The battle is not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers of darkness, but principalities and powers of darkness. You're not facing this thing from your own strong arm. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And that unbelief is talking about Israel. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why we say the word is the most important part of the day, the most important meal of the day.
Yeah.
It's a part of this morning balanced breakfast.
Yeah.
More so than Lucky Charms.
That's right.
Seeing then, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees you. He knows you. He wants you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And our profession is faith in what he can do. He's there on your behalf. God gave me this visual. He's bowing down in heaven as you're standing upright in him. And when we bow down, he's standing upright in us. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Once again, we aren't in this on our own. There's a place that our heart has to come. It's inevitable. It's important that our heart comes, because if it doesn't, you're setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment in the long run. Nehemiah had to come to a place where he had to trust God, God's ability. I mean, you can name everybody in the Bible that had to do that. Jesus included. He said he found himself being humble. He was God, man. He was God. God had to humble himself. So how much more do we, if we call ourselves Christians, the anointed ones, followers, the anointed followers of God, of Jesus. So that's my charge. That's my encouragement. That's my love to y'all, man. Like, the ease of this thing. It's not a strenuous process. God ain't got you jumping through hoops. Jesus did all the hoop jumping. And his hoop was the ultimate hoop. I don't think there's anything good that you can do. I'm pretty sure there's nothing good that you can do that will top the cross. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. There's nothing that brings us to God like that cross did. Like those wounds on his back did. Like that blood that spilled out of his body did. That's why he's the king. And that's why you are seated in him in heavenly places. He replaced you. He took that L for you. But really, it was a win.
Nothing but W.
Because God don't lose.
He don't take no L.
So everybody, let's we just gonna pray real quick, and then we'll close this thing down. But everybody, stand for me. Stand. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just give him some praise real quick, y'all. He's good, man. God, you're good, Lord. You're so faithful. Thank you. Lord, thank you. We know that if it's not for you, Lord, we have nothing. We are bankrupt without you. And even further, Lord, you love us. With your very life, you love us. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you for each and every person that's here, each and every person that may hear this. Lord, I just thank you for your essence of life, Lord. I thank you that every word that was spoken today, Lord God, even up from the worship and praise, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, that it penetrates. It digs, it goes deep down in our hearts, Lord. And it birthed something so exponentially great that we will see a significant change in the next hour, Lord God. Lord God, I just thank you for each and every person that's here right now. Lord God, I just thank you for your blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Is merciful to you and give you peace, rest, security. Be secure in the name of Jesus. Be secure. Not in your ability. Be secure. You are great beyond what you can even imagine. Demons tremble when you come in a room. Because you're not walking in a room by yourself. You got Jesus on the inside of you. And they know it. They fear it. You have the Spirit. You have the entire Godhead in you. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You got the kingdom of heaven on the inside of you. When you open your mouth, you release the very kingdom of heaven into this earth. It's stuff waiting. It's just anticipating. Oh, well, he's about to. All you got to do is just be available. And I believe that God is making you available at this very moment. Thank you, Lord. We just give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God.
The word.
Amen. Thank God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You all can have your seat. Thank God for that word.